Across Afghanistan, women are emerging from seclusion. After 5 years of Taliban rule, girls' schools are reopening and women are back at work. But many remain behind the traditional head-to-toe veil, as NPR's Anne Garrels reports.
In Kabul, at the offices of a foreign non-governmental organization, a group of Afghan women sorts through information they've collected about families in need. Their job is to determine who should receive food assistance. They're clearly thrilled to be back helping their people. Mariam had just finished her training 5 years ago when the Taliban took power, banned women from the workplace, and consigned her to her house. But one thing hasn't changed. While these women only wear headscarves in the office, outside on the street, they continue to wear the head-to-toe burqa like just about every Afghan woman. Kabul's new authorities are encouraging women to go back to work and resume their education, but they're dodging the issue of the burqa for now, well aware this is a loaded question at home and abroad. Mariam looks forward to the day when she can appear on the streets with an open face, but she doesn't anticipate this will happen soon, and she believes the West's fixation with the veil is misplaced. Wearing or not wearing a burqa has nothing to do with my basic human rights. These women make it clear they think there are far more important issues at stake now, like jobs and education. While the Quran makes no mention of the burqa, merely saying women should cover their hair, the veil is a Pashtun tradition and now associated here with Islamic custom. In the 60s and 70s, Afghan women began to shed their burqas, but when the Soviet Union invaded, the reaction against this foreign secular power reinforced tradition. Long before the Taliban made it law, social pressure to wear the burqa was intense. 37-year-old Anissa is a teacher in the eastern city of Jalalabad. This is more conservative than the capital, Kabul. According to tradition here, she would not speak to a foreign male reporter, and while she had no objections to talking to a female journalist, her family had to grant special permission to have a male translator present. She's happy about wearing a burqa. It's our Pashtun tradition, she explains. And while she says women should eventually be able to choose, she too says now is not the time to deal with this. Like the women in Kabul, she says there are more important issues. School books, for one. The most important thing is that there has been no education for women and no work for men or women. Now we have some hope. The new governor of Jalalabad has announced the reopening of girls' schools. Radio broadcasts are urging teachers and students to return. After 5 years, Anissa will once again be in a classroom. Of course we'll go back to our jobs. We didn't want to stay at home. We tried every way we could to work under the Taliban. We could do nothing except sew some carpets. We're delighted to have our jobs back. Under the Taliban, only girls up to the age of 9 could be educated, though in Jalalabad, UNICEF managed to persuade the authorities to allow homeschools for girls between 9 and 11. Anissa says it's important to have the stimulus and camaraderie of a true school setting, and she says it's crucial that older girls once again have the opportunity to be educated. With the country in such a desperate condition, she believes women have an important role to play, first and foremost as literate mothers, but also in every other aspect of Afghan life. For now, acceptable professions for women remain medicine, teaching, and engineering. Anissa's 16-year-old niece, Saba Gal, hasn't been able to attend school for 5 years. Though there were some illegal underground schools, she was afraid to take the risk. She's getting her uniform ready for the school's official opening. She's lost a lot of ground, but grinning shyly behind her headscarf, she says she can now fulfill her dream to be a doctor. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Jalalabad, Eastern Afghanistan.